This is Capital Insider, taking you inside politics, policy, and government in Oklahoma. I'm Dick Pryor with Quorum Call publisher Sean Ashley. The State Board of Education did little work at its monthly meeting Thursday after Attorney General Gentner Drummond did not renew the board's contract with its outside legal counsel. Sean, what is the AG's role in the hiring of outside counsel by state agencies?
A 2022 law passed by lawmakers and signed by Governor Kevin Stitt gave the Attorney General's office more input into agencies' hiring of outside counsels, including the ability to approve or disapprove their plans to hire those attorneys. Now, first, the attorneys have to be on an approved list by the Attorney General's office. Karen Nicholas of the firm McAllister, McAllister & Nicholas, who had served as legal counsel to board members since October of 2023, is on that list. But second, the board has to provide a variety of information to justify hiring outside counsel, including reasons for not obtaining the representation from the Attorney General's office by contract. Now, we need to keep in mind that Nicholas disagreed with Drummond's formal opinion that legislators can attend board's executive sessions. She had disagreed so much so that she said at the board's August meeting that his opinion removed the ability of public bodies to hold executive sessions to receive privileged information from their legal counsels.
A.G. Drummond gave the Board of Education options on how to proceed. Now, this fix could go quickly or take a while, and it's up to the board to decide the direction.
That's right. Drummond said the board could contract with his office for its counsel, which is more than 100 state agencies and their boards and commissions do. At Thursday's meeting, Brad Clark from the Attorney General's office served as the board's counsel. And Clark has experience in the education arena, having served as general counsel for the State Department of Education previously. Or they could hire in-house counsel or find another outside attorney. Now, those two options likely would take some time. Ultimately, it's up to the board to decide, and I'm sure they will take some action at their November meeting.
An interim study examining the use of cell phones by students in schools has concluded its work. What did legislators hear?
In simplest terms, cell phones in classrooms are bad. They are distracting. Two school officials told the State Education Committee about experiments teachers in their schools performed where they had their students keep track of texts and social media notifications they received during the class period. Both officials said the students received more than 200 to 300 notifications in each class. And while you and I may have passed notes in school, students today are using text messages and social media applications to do that. And that includes doing things like bullying and planning or documenting bad behavior, such as fights and vandalism, the committee was told. And there is a growing body of evidence that adolescents' constant connection to social media leads to increased anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues.
Now that legislators studying this cell phone issue have gathered information, what do they plan to do with it?
Well, now they have to try to turn it into legislation to be considered in the 2025 session. The chair of the committee, Adam Pugh, a Republican from Edmond, said a balance has to be achieved between establishing some sort of statewide mandate or guidelines and then allowing local officials to decide exactly how to implement that policy.
The first quarter of fiscal year 2025 has passed, and figures from the Office of Management and Enterprise Services show that general revenue fund collections came in lower than the first quarter of 2024. Is that cause for concern about state government funding?
Well, those collections totaled nearly $2 billion, about $17.4 million or 0.9% below the prior year. General revenue fund collections are important because that is the largest source of legislative appropriations, and those appropriations are based on an estimate approved by the Board of Equalization. Those collections were only $4.8 million or 0.2% above the estimate, so they were just about on target. Is it cause for concern? It's something certainly we'll have to keep an eye on.
In-person early voting begins Wednesday for the general election. What do voters need to know about how to vote early?
First, you need to know where your early voting location is. You can check with your county election board or the Oklahoma voter portal on the state election board website, oklahoma.gov /elections. And of course, you need to bring a photo ID, which can be issued by the state, the federal government, or a tribal government. And if you don't have one of those, you can use the free voter ID card that the County Election Board sent you.
Thank you, Sean.
You're very welcome.
And that's Capital Insider. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.
The candidates for November are set.
I know Donald Trump's type.
Between now and Election Day.
We are not going back.
A campaign season unfolding faster.
Kamala Harris is not getting a promotion.
Than any in recent history.
Make America great again.
Follow it all with new episodes every weekday on the NPR Politics Podcast.